to the special meeting of Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee. Roll call.
Chair Hansett.
Present.
Deputy Chair Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Maloney.
Here.
Legislator McCullough.
Here.
And Legislator Walz.
Here.
Okay.
You have a chair here, too.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Chair Criswell.
Here.
Right. And can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So just as an overview, what we're going to do is we're going to call up the different offices. We're going to start out with three general questions for each of you. And then from there, if there's anything else you want to include, we have some questions. And if you have any questions for us, that is the time. So we are going to start with Weights and Measures. Director James, can you pronounce your last name for me?
DeGasperis.
Can you, do you mind sitting up here and then using the microphone, please? Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're just going to start out with, did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program? Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025?
No, there's not.
Anything being eliminated?
No, there's not.
Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and, if applicable, capital program for your department is right-sized, including staff, for your needs and workload? Okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do, because we never get you here quickly, and just if there's any other concerns?
What we're in charge of is testing every weighing and measuring device in Ulster County to ensure its accuracy. That includes all scales, gas pumps, oil trucks. We also take petroleum samples for the state to make sure the gas sold in Ulster County is what it is and has no other stuff that's not supposed to be there. We also deal with a local law dealing with item pricing in supermarkets, which we go in and test 500 items to make sure that they meet 98% accuracy at the front end. Really, it's a vicious cycle. You just go over and over again. As soon as you get done, you start all over again. But every device sealed up to make sure that it's not tampered with. When we check gas pumps to make sure there's no skimmers involved in there that steal credit card things, we open up the pumps to make sure nobody's tampered with them, but every device in Ulster County is checked to make sure they're accurate. Okay. We also handle consumer complaints. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, thank you. Any questions from anyone?
How many people are in your department?
Just two.
All right. Well, this is how we hope they're all going to run.
Is everybody else going to do that smooth?
The model. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Next up is Safety Office, Diane Beadle.
Hello.
How are you? Do you have any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
That was not included? Yes. I put in for another position.
Okay. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, our office is very busy. We originally had 5 employees, including myself, in the office, and a few years back they eliminated one. And I was just looking to get replenished, as I try every year, because we have a lot of responsibility. Work to do.
How many employees currently?
Including myself, there's 4.
And when was that other one cut?
Back when, well, it's a year back when the executive came in. It was back in my client's time, but I'm not sure the next year.
All right. And you put in for another position?
Yeah.
And it was eliminated? Okay. Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025?
Yes, the exec's office put an initiative
for 2025. Is that the reorganizational initiative? And under this initiative, the Director of Safety would oversee the insurance program?
Yes.
Okay. And your thoughts on that?
It makes sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good move.
Okay. Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and, if applicable, capital program for your department is right-sized, including staffing, for your needs or workload? So now's your time to tell us a little bit about what you had put in for again.
Well, I put in for another administrative position because we do have a lot of, we have a heavy workload. We do a lot of different things in our office as far as inspections and managing a lot of the programs, the drug and alcohol program, airborne, bloodborne. We do all the OSHA inspections. We do slip, trips, and fall inspections. We do road inspections. We do building inspections. We do work code enforcement officers for the county facilities. So we manage a lot of paperwork. We issue the county IDs and driving permits, so we monitor that as well. So we do the annual injury and illness report to the state. I could go on and on. It's just a lot. You know.
Do you check the trucks out, vehicles out? Does safety do that? I was just
check them out as far as what?
Whether they're unsafe to drive.
If I get a call from the mechanics, we do. We do for the county.
That was just a curious question. I've had some complaints over DPW about some of the cool vehicles, and I have pictures where I just can't believe they haven't been flagged by somebody.
If we get called when they do inspections, then they'll call us over to back them up as far as whether they're roadworthy or taken off the road.
Okay. So you requested an extra position that was denied?
Yes.
Who did you talk to about? Who did you state your case to? Was it somebody from budget? What was that process like from you putting in the request to the request being denied?
Yeah, we put the request into the budget office, and then when we meet with them, we talk with them, and then when the budget comes back through the exec's office, I guess that's how it works, then they took it out. They didn't take it out initially. It was there.
Did anybody talk to you about did not? So at first it looked like it might go through, and then it didn't?
No. We just had the one budget meeting, and then until it comes out.
And then did somebody call or talk to you about it's going to be denied?
Well, they talked to me about the initiative, yeah.
And then no one ever talked to you about denying the position?
I assumed it was part of the initiative of mixing the two departments.
So was there anything, is there overtime being run because of that lack of that position? Is somebody overworked? Are there things that maybe aren't being checked as much as, what is the result of not having that position?
Well, it's a bad time right now because I also had a secretary retire very quickly on me. So we're a little bit behind now because of that. And, you know, we're already bread and water, which is why I wanted another position. But now we're getting a little bit behind because the request to fill is going through. It just hasn't gone through yet. So we have to go through the cycle of, you know, hiring.
That's for the secretary. But the other position's obviously not coming.
Right.
So as far as that other position, there inevitably, if the position is needed, then without a doubt, there's work not being done as fast, or there's overtime being run.
We don't have overtime, so whatever time we put in is our time, is my time.
So you're putting it, you're doing a lot of the work that position would do yourself?
Yeah.
So you end up working hours, but you're management, so you're not getting paid. Are you eligible for comp?
No.
You're one of those positions that's not.
Right.
And that's not, there's not nothing universal about that, because there are certain positions in the county that I think can receive comp. You're not one of them, so you're just working extra.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, next up is the Public Defender's Office, Elizabeth Corrado.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Do you have any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
Yes, I had numerous requests for salary increases. Every one of them is funded by grant money that we're contractually required to actually expend, and every one of them was not included in the budget.
Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025?
Only to increase our discovery capacity. I think I'm hoping to be working with the DA's office. The money for that is actually in the budget as well.
Okay, anything being eliminated?
No.
Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and capital program for your department is right-sized, including staff for your needs or workloads?
Other than the staff, I do.
Okay. I have a note here that state aid proposed to increase for Hurl Herring by 5% and for Indigent Legal Services by 198%.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding your question.
I have a note here that state aid proposed to increase for Hurl Herring by 5%. And for Indigent Legal Services by 198%. Are you?
So I still am not really understanding your question. We have a new, I assume you're talking about the grants we get from Indigent Legal Services. We're in the second round. We had 6 years of the Hurl Herring, and we now have the new Hurl Herring 2 is what they're calling it. And that over the course of 3 years is just under $10 million. We also have the Division of Criminal Justice Services. We just received about, I think, $868,000. That is a significant increase. I think that previously that number from DCJS was about $14,000, and now it's only $868,000. So maybe that's the number you're talking about?
Natalie, anything on that?
No, I think not.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So what positions did you put in for that will not be staffed?
Nothing that will not be staffed. They were increases.
From part-time to full-time, or?
No, there was just increases that were the Indigent Legal Services have provided grant money in order to improve our ability to attract and retain attorneys. And so I included with the contract with ILS, I included proposed increases, and they're funding them 100%, but none of those increases have been approved by the county.
Chair Crystal?
I just want to get a better understanding of that. Did you get a reasoning such as if it was funded with grant funding now, but then the grant funding dried up, it would then become a county responsibility, or what was the reasoning for it? It's not accepting money that is not, you know.
So I think that this is a traditional problem with the county, is that the state will provide grant funds, and historically, as I understand it, the county says, well, the money might dry up. Now we're on year 8 of this money, and there is no indication that that money is going to dry up. It's the result of a lawsuit that requires proper funding of defenders. So the reasoning is not good. And yes, that is the reason. Although I haven't been specifically told it's not going to happen, it's just not in the budget. It's just not in this proposed budget. So, and that's how I find out about it. I look at it and say, oh, it's not there.
So do you know, can I ask Paul? Do you know how long this Hurl Herring 2 is funded for?
Yes, it started April 1, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get contracts until June. They weren't finalized until just this month.
Mm-hmm.
So it prevents us from being able to put in for a budget modification to increase our budget so we can spend. So that money kind of sits there. So it's a 3-year contract from March 31st, 2027. What happened with the last round, there was so much unexpended money that the state granted an extension. So a 5-year contract went to a 6-year contract.
Got it.
So now we'll be going into 8 years.
So the state is committed until 2027 for this money? Okay, thank you.
Sure. So a lot of the conversations we had from the process was tied up with the salary study as well. These employees are managed confidential employees and not part of a bargaining unit. So any changes that we would be making, unfortunately, are pending that salary study.
Was that your, before I go back to Liz, was that your handling of the budget for every non-union position? So nobody non-union got a raise down under that?
In terms of looking at specifically Liz's budget.
So for Liz, it's wait for the salary study, but not for every non-union position, wait for the salary
study. For the vast majority, was wait for the salary.
But not for everyone.
Everyone received a 3% increase for management.
But some management. Well over 3%.
Correct.
That's what we're trying to get to, is we're telling you, secondly, the only time I've been up here going on 6 years, the only time I've ever heard, and I often talk about it, we're adding salary through a grant that will eventually sunset. Nobody ever cares. For whatever reason, the only office that ever is given that rationale, going back to the original executive of the county, is public defender. I don't know why that is. I don't know why we tell you that, but we don't tell any, we never worry about sunsetting except for the public defender's office. And now we're hearing doubly that wait for the salary study, yet because you're non-union and no, there's other people not being told that. So I don't necessarily agree. I do think looking at the salaries, you're not alone, where I think we're going to have to give almost everybody in the county a raise if we're honest with ourselves. I think a lot of us are frustrated with the salary study and the two reasons that we're receiving for not granting your requests, especially when there's not even grants funding. It's not like there's even money there for a couple of years for some of these managerial positions that are getting raises. I don't really understand it, and it's certainly something I myself am willing to look into doing legislatively as we go over the next couple of months, because I do think we're losing people in your office in particular to other counties. And I don't think it takes, you know, a $150,000 or $200,000 salary study to compare other public defenders. It's such an easy comparison to look around the surrounding counties and get a feel for what lawyers are being paid, but specifically what other public defenders are being paid. So it's a salary study we could do ourselves in 5 minutes, and what we end up seeing is that some of these border counties are paying more, and I think we're going to have to be realistic, especially when the money's there and it's free money for a couple of years. Did anybody else have anything on that? Because then I had my own questions on that, but we can.
I just wanted to comment myself on I appreciate your comments. I do just want to point out actually that these grants are contracts we enter into with the state. We guarantee that we are going to fulfill the contract. The budget is part of the contract, and we routinely can't spend the money, and that's not proper. It is a violation of our obligations under the terms of the contract. So that's really all I have to say right now about that.
Jamie, can I ask you if you could come up here for the rest of the meeting with a microphone, please?
Sure.
Liz Hedden McCollum?
How are you doing? I was wondering, with this grant, is it a way to maybe speak to them, work with them, instead of giving raises, maybe because you want to retain your workers, maybe we can maybe call it a retention bonus or some kind of pay to retain people? So that if it dries up, then we're not on the hook for it, was it? Just an idea.
I don't think that the county would approve that. I had asked about that in a different context, and I was not able, the answer I got that was not something we could do. and I don't recall what the rationale was for that response.
Legislator Maloney?
A couple of questions about the budget, and it is a little disappointing that we don't have anybody from finance or budget here. It just seems like we're not having the meeting that we could and should have if we don't have the individuals that actually made this budget, had these meetings and conversations that people are asking
you
questions of.
Direct
so,
those questions to Jamie.
I realize that, but I feel like as a fully functioning government, we should probably have somebody from the budget and finance at these meetings. Computer equipment I saw was increased by the executive. It didn't look like you requested it, but it was like
25,000.
Well, your actuals and what you request is usually very low, but this was this something that was, why did it go up so much?
I think, and Jamie, you can probably speak to this better than I can, but I think it is something that's on the wrong budget line.
So this was supposed to be IS?
No, it should be within the budget for the Public Defender's Office. I believe when the budget team looked at the budget overall, this was put in a different line, and they went through and put it into the lines that it should be put into, with my understanding.
That's what
so
I understand.
So would be, I didn't see another
software.
Line.
Yeah.
What other line was significantly...
I don't think the transaction was applied. You have to put the transaction and then you have to apply in the budget module, and I don't think that was applied correctly in the request.
In years past?
Specifically this year, because I think this is your software, Liz, that was newish this year.
Yeah, it's a case management software that we split over 2 years. I mean, we requested it in full in 2 years, in two budget years, because it took so long to get the contract. So. Essentially, that will be underspent eventually.
But we can get more information, Legislator Maloney,
okay.
On that one.
Next would be professional services. And since 2018, you've never expended more, the office has never expended more than $31,000, $30,000. And this year, and even year to date, I think we're a little over 10, even though 113 was budgeted for, and now we're budgeting $180,000.
Again, that's grant money. ILS is encouraging us to something that we traditionally didn't have the funds for, to hire forensics and experts and all the professional services that people who hired a private attorney would have access to, and which traditionally the Public Defender's Office did not have access to. And since our contracts come so late, it was only close to the end of this year that I was actually able to green light those things for my staff. So you'll begin to see expenditures, and it's all grant funded.
That is
grant money.
Confusing me, because year to date this year seemed like it was going to be one of the lowest historically. We only got a couple months left, so we're going to see that even this year all of a sudden come through.
You're correct. You're correct. But everything takes time, and it takes time, and trials take time. And so it really depends on the breakout of the types of cases you're handling. So sometimes we need a lot of experts, sometimes we don't. But traditionally, we haven't had the money, and we haven't been able to green light that. But going forward, we will.
Okay. Miscellaneous contracts is up.
What is the number on that line?
You know what? I don't have the exact number. I typed up what we've spent in the past. And this is traditionally, I used to argue a lot with a guy named Burt Goldnick about over-budgeting. And this was one of the things where you'd see miscellaneous professional services. And it was just historical every year. And it really added up and rolled over and made for a lot of budget transfers and unaccountable spending throughout the year. But so I don't know. I just know I made a note that it seemed it was way up, and we've only spent like $1,000 year to date, even though we budgeted 117 last year. So this year it's up again. And the most that we've ever used on this line was 15,000 over recent history back to 18. So what would be the cause of that this year?
Jamie, do you have a note on what on what that number is.
They don't right here.
Well, anybody from budget down the hall, down fifth floor, come run up?
We don't have miscellaneous contracts in general. There's just not, we do, you know, we have our experts, we have translation services, but all those things are in different budget lines, so.
Yeah, 5,023, and about 1,000 so far this year. And then we're way up, even though we've been budgeting well over $100,000 for a couple of years.
Legislator Maloney, are you speaking of miscellaneous contractual expenses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What budget
does that have to do with vehicles, leases?
Mm-hmm.
No, we only have one lease. Can you tell me the budget line you're looking at?
4,600 is the kilowatt hour, 4,600.
Yeah.
1.5, 4,635, 4,660. Is that where you're referring to, Christine?
Yes.
That's where I'm looking as well, and I have under there about a lease. So is that incorrect?
Yeah, I'm not sure why that number is what it is.
Can we request some more information on that, please?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
That's what it's like.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find out if you had any additional expenses due to our new PEP court.
The answer is no, really, because we had money from the grant for CAFA, and CAFA has been replaced by the CAP court, and all of the expenses for the CAP court are funded by the HH grant, and it actually, the budgeted amount is actually lower than it was with CAFA because it's finite. With CAFA, it could have changed depending on how many arraignments there were, how many times people had to be called out. Now it's finite. It's a fixed number.
Got it.
So okay. Then there's nothing further on that.
Great. Thank you.
You have a new budget line for software cloud storage for $150,000. Can you tell me about that?
That is the discovery
storage
that I was speaking of earlier from the DCJS grant.
All right. So that's
a quick one. You keep mentioning, you've mentioned several times how long these contracts are taking, and that's some of the issues. Is the county attorney, often is the county attorney's office responsible for that delay?
Well, actually, it's the state. Yeah, the state, we got our contract for the HH2, the next 3 years, that starts April 1st of this year. We got it, we started negotiating it in mid-May. And then when the contract actually came, and we did it fairly quickly this year, when the contract actually came, I think it was by the end of June. So it's, and you can't start spending the money till you have a signed contract. The county attorney's office honestly has been very quick with me. I've been very pleased with my relationship with the county attorney's office. And then the process just has to go from to so many places for signatures back up to the comptroller's office back down here. So it's just bureaucracy, which I'm in support of.
Hey, you also, there's a recommendation for a new professional services fee for professional recruitment of $30,000. Can you tell me a little bit about this and what the benefit of it will be?
Sure. We're having a very hard time, as everybody is, recruiting. And so we put money in there to see if there were, you know, some novel ways to perhaps attract people. Maybe we could use a headhunter. I don't know. I think that's unrealistic. That's probably not a good amount of money. But the thought was to put some money in there to give us some leeway in case there was some way to recruit in a way that we hadn't thought of already.
Okay. Any other questions?
But that, again, it's fully funded by the state.
That is also?
It is 100% funded by the state.
Nice. Anyone else? Sure.
Jamie, I'm wondering when you think the salary study will be finalized.
So we're hopeful that we'll start to see some pay plan development within the next couple of weeks. I know the unions all have, and everyone on the committee has the market data. So the next step is to take the market data, start to develop the pay plans from that market data. So we're hopeful that we'll have those coming out in the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Probation and Restorative Justice, Director Valerie Naccarato. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to ask the same questions. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
No.
Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025?
No.
Anything being eliminated?
No.
Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and capital program for your department is right-sized, including staff, for your needs and workload?
Yes, with one caveat.
Okay.
We didn't put it in the budget, but we did put a request in before the budget to increase our number of SANE nurses. So that was something I actually never spoke to Jamie about, but I put a request in. They're per diem, so it's not really a financial. We believe the money we have budgeted right now would allow for that, but we would like to add the lines.
Yep.
That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, Jamie. Okay. Raise the age professional services are proposed to decrease by $151,000 this year.
Was that revenues?
Excuse me?
Was that under revenue or under expenses? Let's
see. Natalie, can you help me out here?
After the supplies, is that the one you're referring to? Or is it a total?
It's professional services. Sorry, how long? Say go home.
We're at 327 on 24 adopted, and then 196. I'm assuming it was a cut on the state revenue to match. I don't know.
I'm sure what that was, because everything we have under our professional services, I believe. We have 176.
Yeah, 176 was the total. The prior year budget was 327. Prior year adopted.
So it's...
Sorry, I didn't bring my 2024 with me, and I don't remember anything significant in that.
Yeah, I don't.
It had gone up considerably over the last couple of years. Last year, it went up considerably compared to the prior years. And now this recommended amount that's coming in is lower than since 2022.
I actually thought we pretty much kept that budget the same, but I
here's your original. This was the 24 transactions, I believe.
Moving on to
18. Yeah.
Lower. Oh, well, that's we did. Oh, yeah. Restorative. That's got all that. last year we had funded restorative justice in the schools. And we phased that out this year.
Okay.
So that's probably the majority of it, because that was, other than that, I think it's the same. I believe that's the big
So the recommendation of the county executive's office of this amount of $176,000, is that, you feel, appropriate?
Yes.
Isn't that, wait, Valerie, isn't that the adult one, though, that's been moved?
And, oh, that's right. And there was restorative Ulster, which should not have been in Raise the Age, and we did move that into our 1835 decision, too.
Okay, so with those two things?
Yeah.
Okay. Vehicle expenditures were included in the 2024 adopted budget, but are not recommended in 2025. Were these purchased vehicles?
They had recommended we move that into the capital, so I believe that was moved from our budget into the capital budget.
That's correct. Okay. That's all I had. Anybody have some questions? Mr. Hewitt?
Was that standard for all departments to move the vehicle?
Yes, the vehicle expenses should be reflected in the capital unless it's an ongoing leased vehicle. That would be reflective in the operating, but all vehicle purchases should be in the capital budget. We do have offsetting revenue, which we can show when we do that via resolution through the capital project.
Senator Maloney, did you have a question?
Yeah, there was maintenance on equipment that was tweaked by $25,000.
Can you tell me what division and what line that was? I have five different divisions.
We'll have to go through. It was 77, and it was moved down to 53.7. I was curious, and it was normally around 20, so it seemed like you had an exact amount, so I didn't know if you had an actual plan for that maintenance that was going to cost around $77,000. So I was just wondering why it would have been moved down, still left considerably higher, but moved down.
Was it under supplies?
Yes.
Okay. I know, I'm not sure if this is it. I know we had over been replacing our tasers, which are end of life, and we did that over 2 years. But that was, this is our second, 2025 would be our second year. We replaced half of them this year. Just trying to find it on.
I think it's division 1835, Valerie.
1835, yeah. And what line is it? The
4695.
Oh, okay. This is our fun one. This is our database. Yeah. What had happened, we didn't have a it's a long story. I believe I spoke to you in committee about it, trying to get a contract with our software for our database. And so in 2023, we did not have a contract, so we never were able to pay them. We finally got the contract resolved in 2024. So we were used our 2024 funds to pay 2023 bill. Mm-hmm. And then when we were doing the budget, we were right in the middle of that. So we put in the extra funds for 2024, but I did come to the legislature and requested those funds, which you approved. So we got the money in 2024. So we were going to be able to pay it. So we were just kind of afraid we wouldn't have the money. So, and so that's why it was removed after mm-hmm. we did the budget, because we did that resolution.
All right.
Any other questions or concerns? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is District Attorney's Office, Manuel Nigy.
You see, I brought it whole team, so.
All right. Well, happy to sit back.
Welcome.
Good evening.
We're going to start with the same questions that we're asking of everyone. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
Yes.
Would you like to elaborate on that right now?
The request we made for four additional district attorneys full time. that was switched to converting the part-time assistant district attorneys to full-time and eliminating the part-timers. That if we can get the full conversion and have them start working in the office, that would make a big difference. However, the rate of pay proposed for them, you will not get a law student into the office for that, especially in this area, considering the competition we have around us. I have to ask you to forgive me. Saja and Liz are going to take up because I've been mired in a trial that just ended. So
to both chairs, thank you for having us. We did prepare a presentation because this is the first budget that we as an administration are presenting. I think that the public deserves to hear about why there is such an increase that they'll see in the budget book for our office. And it's just important for the community to understand how we're functioning, how we have been functioning. And we put a considerable amount of time into this budget. We prepared it early on while the DA was on a different homicide trial in conjunction with the chief ADA. And all of us up here have our own caseloads and responsibilities. So preparing this was on top of our usual day-to-day functions. And I think it's very important for me to just quickly walk through the presentation. Liz is going to speak to some of the reasoning for some of the increases you might see in salary, and we'll just go from there. So I'm going to do the presentation. I'll be as quick and succinct as possible, but I also think it's very important because the public is going to see a considerable increase in the DA budget. So is that okay with you, Chip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do have copies for everyone. I'm going to grab the...
We this year and for the past few years have been working, this year we're working with somebody else's budget. And our goals for next year are community safety above all, optimizing our caseload distribution, getting to a space where we're all housed under one roof with accessibility for all. That means all of our staff, all of the members of the public that are often in with our staff, and everyone who comes to visit the DA's office. But most importantly for me, I know today we have a very serious trial going on in county court, and the victims are in the grand jury waiting space because we don't have an adequate waiting space for our, you know, most seriously impacted crime victims right now. And you all know that. We've talked to you each individually about our need for the space. And then our final goal is continue building a DA's office for today and tomorrow. It's prepared to meet the challenges, to meet all of the innovations and digitization that's occurring across the industry, but also criminals are also becoming more sophisticated. So we have to keep up. This achievement of community safety for everyone is very important. We achieve that through sound prosecutorial decisions at every phase of a case. We achieve that by supporting every victim with compassion and using a trauma-informed approach. The DA pointed out to me that this is required by the Fair Treatment Standards for Crime Victims pursuant to executive law. We work collaboratively with our partners in law enforcement at every aspect of a case, in building a case, at trial, for hearings, and all of the steps in between. This makes us all better. We evaluate appropriate cases for diversion and rehabilitation. We connect defendants, victims of crime, and their support networks to the resources that the county and nonprofits offer to them. And finally, we spearhead the community initiatives that promote all aspects of community safety with particular focus on our most vulnerable populations here in Ulster County, our children, our elderly, our people who are marginalized and don't have access to the same things. moving on, I just wanted to briefly summarize some of our accomplishments in our first nearly 11 months in office. First of all, we have had strong prosecutions of our most serious crimes. As I go through the presentation, you'll see that we've been able to take a very proactive approach to some of the crimes that I'm looking around the room that occurred in your communities. We were awarded this year over $700,000 in both federal and state funding, and those are competitive opportunities, so that was a huge accomplishment. We had our successful first summer intern experience working with area college and law students. I believe, and hopefully none of you disagree, but we've achieved a more balanced public coverage of our office through improved press and public outreach. And now all of our press releases are available online and we're more present on social media. And we also have an increased presence in our community. This is something that looks like just a basic table. We've been talking about the salary study, and I will speak from personal experience. I've been in government service since 2011. I've been part of four salary studies, and I'm hopeful that I will see the results of one day. And what I've found in my time in all these different government law offices is there's always attrition among government attorneys. When it happens to DA's office, it's felt more acutely. And this is the extensive comparative work that we did. And I'm going to turn it over to my colleague who really put a lot of time and energy to break this all down for you to show how our office compares to both our neighbors and our neighbors further away in the state that might have more demographics that are similar to ours.
And before Liz takes over, I thank all of you for the attention you have given to the DA's office and everything that you have done, including and up to the new space. Hopefully that works out. It would be an immense, contribution for the office. But I ask you to please pay particular attention to the data that's here and the meaning that it has. I think Liz can bring this across to you because she's been there long enough to see and to understand, and she has practiced law as a prosecutor for some time, and the consequences of the imbalance we see here, they do seriously affect the safety of the community. And that's the number one charge for us to accomplish. And hopefully this will help get it across. Thank you.
So I hope everybody can see the statistics. But these statistics are taken from the Division of Criminal Justice Services. And what they are pulling off of are the criminal history. So anytime someone is arrested in a jurisdiction, the Division of Criminal Justice Services is notified by the local law enforcement agency. So,
do you have this in hard copy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't read that.
There. I'll just wait until everybody has a hard copy so we can.
Of course, it's small, but I can also send out the actual, document to you all after.
So if we look at Ulster County, in Ulster County during this calendar year, which these are statistics that were pulled from 2023 because it's a full year, there were 987 felony arrests. Of those 987 felony arrests, 187 of them were violent felony arrests, and we had 352 county court arraignments, which means we prosecuted 36% of the felony arrests in Ulster County and 45% of the violent felony arrests in Ulster County. And I want to draw your attention to Dutchess County to compare to the work that we're doing here. In Dutchess County, they had 1,261 felony arrests. Of those, 241 were violent felony arrests. And they had less overall county court arraignments than we did at 299. they prosecuted 24% of their felony arrests and 28% of their violent felony arrests. And I think it's really important to note that we are doing that with half of the number of full-time ADAs, and that is if we're at full staff. So even though we had a really high attrition rate and we have less full-time ADAs, we are still performing at a higher percentage than Dutchess County, than any of the other surrounding counties. You can look at Orange County. They are prosecuting 26% of their felony arrests, 27% of their violent felony arrests. Rensselaer County, 25% of their felony arrests. They're prosecuting 34% of their violent felony arrests. So we are 10% higher in terms of the number of felony arrests that we are prosecuting in this county, with half the number of attorneys doing it. And I could continue to go on. I think the chart really speaks for itself. The only other statistic that I want to talk about right now in this moment are also the homicide trials and the number of trials, because I think it's important for us to take into consideration, not only are we performing 10% higher in terms of the number of prosecutions that we have at the felony level, we also have equal, if not more, trials and homicide trials. And the amount of time and energy and effort it takes for a single ADA to investigate, to prepare, present, and try that case removes that ADA from prosecuting the other felony arrests that were still 10% higher in terms of what we're prosecuting. We had 11 total trials compared to just Dutchess. They had 10 trials, again, with double the amount of ADAs. We're on par with Orange County. Now, Orange County does have 50 full-time ADAs, where we only have 20 full-time ADAs. They have 2 homicide trials, where we had 3 homicide trials in Ulster. And Rensselaer, 6 homicide trials, 15 total trials, again, similar to our county, and so on. The other thing that's important to take a look at is when we're talking about these violent felonies, if you're going to compare Dutchess County, for example, to Ulster County, when we look at the type of violent felonies that we're prosecuting, Ulster County prosecuted 86 violent felonies, broken down to 20 sex offenses and 20 weapons offenses. You compare that to Dutchess County, they had 3 sex offenses and 22 weapons prosecutions. So we have a higher number of our sex offenses that are being prosecuted in our county, and again, by half the number of prosecutors. It takes a lot of time to prosecute a special victim's case, from meeting with the victim, preparing a victim, working with law enforcement, guiding law enforcement through an investigation. To have that number in comparison to one of our counties nearby is really staggering, and it really does show the work that our office is actually doing. We're not just saying we're doing it. I'm hoping that this is showing you what we're actually doing.
If I may chime in there for a moment. While I was getting ready for this Snyder trial that just finished, I learned that the witness, a victim, someone that we have protected and done everything to protect, was recording her conversations with us. And I listened to one of those conversations. Liz was home on a weekend with her children, being interrupted by, because she wants to help this victim. Our children can be heard on that recording. She is home on her own time, didn't have to take the phone call or text message, but for several minutes she volunteered. I mean, that's what we do in this office. She took the time to treat that witness, that victim, with the kind of dignity we expect to accord them. And, you know, there's a lot that's intertwined in what happened there. in that recording. But one thing that it shows is that a lot of the things that are done by the assistant in the office, by everybody in the office, do not show up on a ledger where you can say, you know, pay this, pay that. It doesn't. Because if we want to record everything that we do, we'll spend more time recording than doing. And I'd rather that we do than worry about the recording. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no, no. Thank you. I think we should let them present first. Roughly what is the, we're just looking at time restraint here, so.
Oh, I'm finished going through the statistics. I think the rest of the statistics for each of you kind of stand on their own, and we're happy to answer questions at a later time about the statistics that we're presenting to you.
Okay. So is there anything else on your presentation, or?
I mean, I can run through it. What I think we should do is run through it quickly, or I can give it after the fact. You know, I think that this committee is lucky that, you know, we've been discussing some of these issues throughout the year, so I don't think it will be, you know, new to anyone. I'll just quickly go through it.
Okay, and then we'll save our questions for the end.
Yeah, and I'm happy to come back to the slide. I'm sure it has.
Yeah. And also, I am happy to meet with anyone to take questions, to discuss anything that any legislator wants, because, you know, I want to make sure that you are fully satisfied with the answers, with any concerns that you may have, except if I'm on trial, I can't get back to you. If I have a hearing in court, I can't get back to you, but I promise that I will make the time to meet with anybody who wants.
Okay. So Liz just explained that we're doing as well, if not better, as some of our peers. But how we've been doing that is really people like the two people to my left that have such a serious commitment to this county that when people leave and people have left, and this year I think 3 ADAs were lost to Dutchess County, 2 were lost to other people were lost to state agencies. So, you know, it's not, you know, related to anything other than, you know, I could be doing the same job for more money and go across the river. And what we're seeing in addition to that is they'll have less of a caseload when they go across the river because there are more ADAs. So we are very grateful to Chair Hansett, who spearheaded the wellness unit in the sheriff's office that allow us to address the impacts of burnout before it happens. However, we are still at this critical inflection point. When I go to the next 2 slides, DA and AG put in 1,200 hours between January and April, and in the resolution for our electeds, for their pension resolution, his daily hours worked out to something like above 24 hours a day. And that is how we've been doing this. This year, as he mentioned, he's successfully prosecuted 4 homicides that involve each of your communities here. There was Dawkins in Plattekill. There is Carolus out of Saugerties. And there is also Snyder out of City of Kingston. So those are the 3 homicide trials that prosecuted 4 individuals for homicide. And in addition to that, we also see that other cases have come back for a new trial. That would be Gregory Thayer. That's out of the town of Ulster. So these are just some of the things that the DA is working on. And
Gregory Thayer is coming back simply because the defense cheated. And now they say that we have to go back because it's a violation of his constitutional rights. We have to do it all over again. Nothing the prosecution did. No blame on the prosecution. So that
Chair, I'm going to make a suggestion. I'm sorry, we're getting pretty far away from the actual numbers. So if we could hurry this presentation along a little bit and really stick to the numbers, we get your case that you're moving forward here. We understand it. So we just have other folks who are going to present their budgets, okay. And we need to respect that as well.
Absolutely. So I am just going to briefly go through the rest of the presentation. This is a slide regarding the Chief ADA's responsibilities and output. And this year, especially because the DA has been on trial, so often she has had to step into that role. This reorganization and the thought about our budget is that we have an executive team now that can function as a team, and these slides go through that. It outlines what our bureau chiefs are doing, who are on call really 24/7. And the reason for the presentation is, again, the increases in salary need to be reflected as to what these people are doing. That's always been the question. So it goes through what our felony assistants do, our justice court assistant DAs do, our entry-level ADAs, and it just outlines the need for us to optimize caseloads. Right now, the caseloads that my colleagues are carrying is untenable for long-term growth. It's one of the reasons we are having the attrition that we're seeing, and what we have coming up in the new year is just as busy as this year. We have a sense of where we're going with all of the complex trials and hearings that are set for the new year. We also outlined some of the new laws and expanded responsibilities that our office has taken due to raise the age, emergency risk protection orders, less is more, Domestic Violence Survivors Justice Act. So these are just some of the new responsibilities that the laws have imposed on DA's offices that we just haven't kept up the pace in terms of growing the office. So we can actually appear before this slide is about all the different judges just in county court alone. I didn't even have a chance to include all of them. We have to appear before simultaneously. I talked a little bit about the competitive compensation that's necessary, and this is where we can get to the numbers, and I'm happy to, you know, pause here and take questions. In our executive budget, as the DA mentioned, we did put in how we did our salaries, just so this body is aware, is we looked at our increases from the beginning of the year pursuant to a resolution back in March. So we received ACE prosecution funding, just like every DA's office around the state. It's a little bit different from some of the grant funding streams that the public defender mentioned. It's not pursuant to a contract, but it is similarly, it must be spent on retention and prosecutorial needs. And we did receive another round of that money. So a lot of these increases that you're seeing are fully state funded. Our revenue from the state is $630,000. So if when you look at the budget book, the 2024 executive approved isn't what actually people are receiving for this year, because the aid to prosecution funding that was dispersed pursuant to resolution in March did it will reduce the high percentages or the jumps that people are seeing in the personnel listing. So we asked for four. The county executive gave us one new position and then converted our six part-time ADA positions to full-time. I did flag some things both to the budget office and to the legislative team that we're not sure if it's just an error or needs to be included. And we're kind of working collaboratively to look at if it was an omission or if it was something that is not approved by the executive. So we will have to have a discussion about how part-time going to full-time can still achieve our need for four full-time ADAs. And in addition to that, the executive budget did move all of our investigators to full-time. We had asked for most of them to go full-time anyway, because that is our analysis of our budget and historically has revealed that a lot of those part-time investigators are working more than part-time hours, and it will also help us to achieve what we need. One of those investigators is in digital forensics and can provide a huge benefit to prosecution and prevent us from getting into contracts with experts. We can do some of that work in-house. In addition, we did have some increased support staff that we asked for, and some reclassification.
I'm just going to stop now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that if I ask these, the three questions that I'm asking of everybody first, that this will be covered under there more specifically.
Okay.
So it'll be just very directly.
All right.
So, and I appreciate all this. Everybody has this as well. And thank you for all the time that you put into that. So again, I asked the question already. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program? So it's four new ADAs. Is that the answer?
Yes, it's four new ADAs, that were not included.
Okay.
Can I ask a question on that?
I'm getting there.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes,
absolutely. So I'm a little confused. So you're talking about part-time that were then converted to full-time. So how many part-time were actually converted to full-time to make them full-time ADAs?
Five were converted, and they were converted to our range that we propose for our entry level to our chief, all the way up to our chief assistant, was $85,000 to $145,000. Those full-time ADAs that were conversion that were proposed by the executive are at salaries of ranging from 70 to 72,000. So it's less than what we proposed as an entry level.
Okay, thank you.
And it doesn't mean that those part-time ADAs are going to accept the positions, you know, to full-time, because a lot of them have experience of 10 years or more. So they will not take a position for $70,000. And my proposal was that if we go in there, I need ADAs who would be in the range of experience that traditionally commands around here are $90,000 to $110,000.
Deputy County Exec.
So we looked at as we said, we looked at the caseload need and said that it doesn't make sense anymore to have part-time assistant district attorneys given the caseload numbers we're looking at. So the positions were shifted from part-time to full-time. There was a one full-time ADA added to the role as well, and two investigator full-time positions were added.
Now, out of the five part-time ADAs that were converted, one part-time ADA was left out. So that would be six altogether if all six part-timers are converted to full-time.
When you say left out, was it?
I think it was clerical.
Okay.
Yep. So would that also go to full-time then?
Can't answer that right now.
Okay. In addition to the request for ADAs, we did request some full-time investigators. Two were approved by this body earlier this year, and then we asked for an additional two, and I think that the executive came back with converting all of our part-time investigators to full-time, which we're okay with.
It's your new
investigators.
You have the two that were added for the
AC, and then you have two new district attorney investigators.
Well, they're conversions of part-time people to full-time.
And two new ones.
I'd like to publicly commend your office for your hard work and especially under limited resources, specifically to Chair Hansen's initial question. Did you ask for in the budget at ADA to handle public integrity matters, and was that honored or denied?
So each of the four ADAs that we asked for were going to have a specific assignment based on our need at that time. We actually did find someone to prosecute as a special victims unit felony prosecutor in the time that has elapsed since then. But we did include a public integrity unit chief that would oversee both the public integrity cases and the crimes against revenue program. While that was not specifically included, I know that we spoke earlier today, we will still do our absolute best to make sure that that unit still happens and there's still that potential for having someone assigned to that specifically.
Thank you. Now, the work that that unit would do that comes in now is still being done. It's just that the unit doesn't exist, but the work, related work, is being done.
Thank you.
Legislator Maloney?
The white collar crime? Is that what you're saying? Is being done now?
Part of?
No. I have too many people, I mean, legit people that have called your office and been told, look, we got murders and rapists to worry about. I mean, $1 million white collar crime. There's one that's being handled right now by Orange County, and some of the crimes are from Marlboro and got nothing from the office. So you're overworked. I heard the numbers before, that's why, but let's not sit here and pretend that we're doing everything we can do with white collar crime. It's just not happening in Ulster County.
Well, we're still going to keep to the numbers, and we're going to keep to the budget here. That's what we're here to discuss right now.
We are talking about the budget. We're talking about what they're proposing in the budget and how it's going to be, and we're getting promises that it's going to happen with very little, is all I'm saying.
My response to you is this. Please bring to my attention the cases that you're talking about.
One former Deputy Comptroller Alicia DeMarco had a million conversations with you guys. It all fell through the cracks. We didn't even prosecute, and they had, and it was handed off by a forensic auditor.
Okay,
amazing.
Stick to the
so I'm
today.
Just not going to sit here and listen to you. But I do have some questions.
I just wanted to talk specifically about the case that you mentioned.
No, we're not going to do that now. We are going to stick to what is on our agenda for the budget today.
Okay.
And those conversations can happen at another time.
And Chair, please, if anybody has a case or anything.
Anybody
I
can reach out at any time to anybody.
Thank
I do
you.
It all the time.
Leases. Now, do I not see their they have all leases, right? In the DA, aren't they the ones with the leases?
They do have vehicle leases.
But I don't see it under vehicles.
Are we still on the first question about what wasn't?
What I would like to do is I would like to get through my first three questions that I've asked of everybody else. I'd like to do that and then get to the questions.
Okay.
There's a procedure here. So we understand the positions that were asked. We asked the executive's office for their response. So my next question is, are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025?
I just need to go back to the first question, what wasn't approved, because there were two things that were left out. We asked for a director of projects, which wasn't approved, and we did actually, in the time that has elapsed, receive grant funding. We're trying to develop the grant budget proposal to see if the grant funds can be used to support another position instead. And the last thing that was omitted or not approved and we're still trying to understand is we put in for a full-time law enforcement coordinator of the Family Child Advocacy Center. Our review of the budget revealed that position was being held by a part-time investigator with a reimbursement from Department of Social Services, so we tried to correct that to become full-time, and I haven't yet heard if that was an omission or if it is something that is so that those were the two. In addition to the ADAs, there were two other things that were not approved that were
so law enforcement coordinator and a part-time investigator.
No, a project, full-time project manager position associated with grant funding that was received. And if you want, I can move on to the second question because it ties.
Did you want to respond to that or no? Okay.
Sorry. I just want to make sure I'm really clear what we're talking about, that the positions that were changed from part-time to full-time, the issue is that they're just not at the salary level that you need.
Not just that, because we don't have the personnel. We don't have individuals who will fill that position if the office right now refuse to accept, to take a full-time position, because all the part-time ADAs are private, practitioners. They have their own practices, and it's either they would have to shut down their practice to work for the county, and you can be sure $70,000, even $90,000 wouldn't do it. And then to bring in somebody to fill that position, two part-time positions for one, that would...
Are the part-time people asking to become full-time?
No.
I suspect that if any one of them is asked, maybe one, but none of them has expressed interest.
So if I'm hearing you right, what you're saying is that all these part-time positions basically won't re-up, and you'll have to hire new people in a full-time capacity.
Exactly, and quite a time that happens. We are, again, back with, not having people covering those courts.
Have you surveyed the part-time people to see if that's the case?
No.
That might be an interesting thing to see if they would actually stay on.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter whether they want to go full-time or not. You desperately need more full-time ADAs. We're only offering 70 to 72,000. So what you're saying is, even if they wanted to go to full-time or didn't, they're probably not going to, because they're going to have to go full-time and give up. And is that, can ADAs even practice, full-time ADAs, can they even practice on the side? So once they go full-time, their ability to make money on the side is over, and we're paying them $70,000. And just looking over at the county attorney's office with some of these budget changes, we have 110, 104, 102. We do have a legal secretary to the county attorney at 71,838. It is completely ridiculous to think you're going to get a quality lawyer for $70,000. I'm sure the DA's office would have some of the same. The county attorney's office does not seem to have the same problems, but certainly it does seem like something I think the legislature needs to think about across the board with what your pay is over at the DA's office.
I appreciate that. And it's, what we look for is the competition we have around. Imagine we are bringing young people in and we are training them. And the people from Dutchess County, they see what's going on here, and they reach out through social media to these assistant DAs and offer. I mean, I have two that were recently offered $20,000 increase to do the same thing across the river. And they are young, they are mobile, and they take it. One took it, the other one is somebody who grew up here and wants to remain here. But I don't want to punish her for, being committed to serve here.
And this is why the salary study was so important to get before this. I do my own salary studies. I call around and say, I'm just saying that we paid a lot of money for a salary study that we don't have at the time of budget.
And, not to interrupt you, Gina, but the minimum salary the starting salary we're asking for is either commensurate or slightly less than the starting salary in Dutchess County and the surrounding areas with the same capacity of work or more that we do.
I'm just going to ask this last question and then Legislator McCullen. Okay. Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and capital program for your department is right-sized, including staffing, for your needs and workload?
Well, I think you can tell about the staffing right now, but I have to, with all my heart, thank you for the all of you for the capital project aspect with, 15 Joyce Lane, and hopefully more and better things to come. And you can count on the commitment of this office. Every single individual that works there, you can count on that. And, I hope you will have confidence that we're doing the right thing and give us the right resources to do it.
Legislator McCullen.
I have two questions, depending on the answer to the first. Do you expect to move in your new space in 2025?
Hopefully before the winter is out.
Okay.
That's the hope.
Now that you said that, did you budget anything in here for moving expenses? Unless I missed something, I didn't.
Well, I would imagine the county works department, I think, would be responsible, and the county IT team would be responsible for the electronic and digital.
No, physically moving.
Yeah. Both physical. So that's okay. The physical and electronic things, I expect that the county is going to do.
And Noble's taking care of all the furniture, right?
Well, we are taking the furniture. If we're able to, move in, hopefully we'll keep the furniture.
And furniture's part of the package as well, so that's just a sidebar. Okay, any other questions? Let's see if we can do it.
I'm wondering if you've taken those expenses into consideration.
Yeah, so we do have a standing capital project for all departmental moves. So as we gear up for departmental moves, that would be used. Also, a lot of those expenses would come in through, as District Attorney said, IT would be responsible for those level of moves. We would be running fiber, that sort of thing would all be coming in. We have budgeted for those expenses for 25. Absolutely.
Anything else?
So just a quick question on the leases, maybe as much to Jamie, but you said earlier that we were moving the vehicles over in probation over to the capital. Is that, by the way, is the capital represented in the operational? It hadn't been historically, but I was hoping in the future it was going to.
For fleet
capital budget, where we put 165,000, that is represented in the 400 some odd dollar number per.
Not time. In the operating budget, it would be in your capital budget. It would be a separate.
So it's not in the operational.
It's budget. Not in the operating.
It does
budget.
Say that it's going to be in the operational budget in 2025.
Okay, I'll look.
But it's not, so that's a problem because now we're not. It's definitely money we're going to spend.
It's money we're going to spend, correct?
But it's not what we're telling the community as far as the 420, 430, wherever we end up.
Well, it's always historically been in the capital budget.
Doesn't mean it's budgetarily correct. I mean, if it's definitely money we're going to be spending, yet it's not. And by swapping it out.
I believe your budget does include the first year of the capital program for 25, which would be when your vehicle expenses would be.
So it will be in there.
I believe. I haven't read
it. Hadn't been in the past, but it does say I have a quote in somewhere
this
in this budget that it is going to be represented in 2025, maybe for the first time. If not, it's going to be something I'm going to be looking to do a budget amendment on just to get an accurate number.
Yep.
And back to the leases, and that would be kind of unfair if we don't include it. We include leases. The DA's office is the only ones that lease, so their budget would look bigger. Even though I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see leases in here for their budget.
I did say earlier leases would
historically be. Historically, they've had leases, which have been coming out of their operating budget. I just do not see them reflected here. So I don't know if it's in a different division or how your leases historically have been paid.
So the leases are out of the law enforcement special activities line, which is a line that's related to civil asset forfeiture. So it's money that stays within the DA's office that has to be, it's money that's recovered from our prosecutions that has to stay within the DA's office by law, statutorily. The leases so far up until this point have been paid out of that line. We worked with the county executive to have an understanding that going forward, the desire is for those vehicles to be owned by the county rather than leased. I have to be honest, I haven't looked at the capital program and it doesn't list out what vehicles are going to be purchased, but we would like to include the leases that expired this year. I believe there are three, and there are three that are expiring mid-year next year in that capital plan, whether it's by amendment or if it's already included.
If I may, Chair.
Proper page four.
Legislator Maloney, it's line 4710,
4712.
It's cut off. It says auto leases, but you can only see the very top of the writing there. That's the issue. Do you see that at the bottom of the page? Page 3 of 5?
Oh, 3 of 5.
Yeah, 3 of 5. It's a 4712.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So that's what happens when I make copies. I don't do a very good
job. And just one last question, just because it was interesting what we were hearing about the comparison between the workload with some of these counties that have more. Now, it's not that we have more crime, right? Their crime is, I'm sure, higher than ours, but we're prosecuting more. They're pleading out more, I assume.
I'm not sure. It's a function of.
Or do we have more crime?
it's a function of the exercise of discretion in each office. You know, there are crimes that we take a lot of the crimes here more seriously, and some of them are resolved across the river
by
deferral. What they have called a deferral of prosecution. If the person gets into more trouble, they'll go ahead and prosecute, or you know, or they resolve it as something less.
When I hear those numbers that we're prosecuting more, it's one of two things. Either we have more crime, or we're actually taking more to court.
It's just our value system of taking
I mean, I've been to cases recently. I've watched the process, and it was a heart-wrenching. I think you referenced probably the person before one of your stories, but and it was due to lack of evidence that we almost had to go to take it to court or plead to what we did, actually. If the evidence is there, you have leverage a lot of times to actually settle on something that you can live with and not take it to court. Obviously, there's these situations that are happening over Ulster County. What is the... Are we having a hard time? I mean, because we are different than these other counties. So are we, and it wouldn't necessarily be your fault. Are we having an evidence issue? I mean, are these just better criminals?
In every case, we still have to be in court to resolve it, whether it's dismissed or convicted and sentenced. What happens in some of the, especially cases involving the stores, the local stores throughout the county. They have, for example, video recording surveillance systems. That's evidence that we have to obtain from them and turn over to the defense. Even though they are a private entity, it's our burden to obtain it according to the defense theory. But the law doesn't require us to obtain it because it's not in the possession of law enforcement or the district attorney's office.
I understand. I was just
looking
for... What
we do is try to make the effort to obtain it, and we try to get it because we're going to need it for trial anyhow, since someone from that store is ultimately going to testify. So if we can get it now, we know we're not going to have it for purposes of trial, so there's no reason, there's no basis to go forward now. So the county's
The only point and then kind of question that I had about what I heard was, as a county legislator, when I hear that it sounds like year after year, we are in trial for more violent crime than counties that are, have 100,000 more people, 150,000 more citizens than we do. Why? Is what I'm wondering. And is it, and obviously there's a certain amount of discretion there. Why are we using that discretion? Are we that much out for a couple of more years? It seems like there's other things. What is it, a lack of evidence? I mean,
I can tell you this.
Because we need more ABA because of
it. The drop in public confidence over the last several years in Ulster County, defense attorneys find it attractive to take cases to trial, because the perception that they have generated and the local news has created is that this is a bumbling office. Because being perceived as a bumbling office, it makes it, easier that something is going to go wrong and the defendant is going to walk.
So you think the negative media coverage has resulted in defendants taking their chance in court rather than accepting the same plea that they would maybe plead to in Ulster or Orange or Dutchess?
It has contributed to it. I tell you this. I just finished the Snyder trial. You are aware of what happened with the Snyder case. When he came back, I said, listen, what this county has gone through in connection to this case, I don't want that to continue. Take a plea to manslaughter in the first degree, and we'll move on from there. But the mindset was they were going to win. They were going to walk out. Now he's convicted. He's facing 25 years to life, maybe up to 40 years to life. Is it that the attorneys give wrong advice sometimes? I don't know, because I'm not in there to figure what they're doing. But we make an assessment of each and every case based on our determination to do everything we can to protect the community. And some violent cases that we pursue, other counties will not pursue. Some violent, many violent cases we pursue will be dismissed in New York City as disorderly conduct. So it's the value judgment that we make, and that's something that, you know, is designed only for the protection of the community. I'm sorry?
I have no doubt. Saving the South Beach on that article.
Yes, but
yeah.
In Orange and the Dutchess, they also take a lighter approach than we do. You know, different DAs, different counties, different approaches. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions on the budget?
I just wanted to add really quickly, just to your point, you know, in this year when we look at some of our successful prosecutions and regarding evidence collection, in our deputy chief just prosecuted all three vehicular homicides, which because of, you know, strong prosecution on the front end, obviously there are differences in how those cases were resolved, but they were all resolved within the calendar year, and that's all under, you know, this administration. And the same goes for one of the most horrific cases that the chief ADA is handling. That was indicted, you know, within a week of a horrendous homicide. I see that Legislator Hewitt isn't here, but that happened in his community. So with all of that, you know, we've been doing a lot with what we have. We're always asking for more. But I really feel that we designed a budget that can, it's not just for next year. This is setting the tone for the remainder of the DA's term.
Thank you. Thank you for all.
Thank you very much. Good to have you on the committee. I know the times I've been here before you weren't on the committee, so thank you. Thank you very much.
Next up is Emergency Management, Director Erickson.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you the same three questions that we've asked everybody else. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
Yes.
Do you want to elaborate on them now?
Sure, that's fine. So there were two positions that were not funded out of a few positions that were requested. One was for an additional dispatcher, ESD1. After further conversation, review, and strategic planning, based off of some of the open positions and training that we're going to, that they need to go through next year when we do hire, we're not going to be able to train that additional position anyway. They would have to start towards the end of the year, November, December timeframe. So we could wait off to 2026. It is within the strategic plan to raise staffing levels based off the study we did a few years ago. And the executive has been very supportive of raising those staffing levels. The other position was for managing our grants. We've taken a lot of grants, so we were looking to create a position underneath within the Division of Emergency Management. And again, through strategic planning and moving some stuff around, we're going to see how this next year goes when it comes to managing that, because we added some additional part-time staff at the end of this year going to next year. So we're going to see how that works out and review it next year for 2026.
Okay, thank you. Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025?
So there's quite a few programs that we're working on going into 2025. One is EMS. Quite a few programs there that we're working on. The other one is the Government Operations Center. We're going to continue to build out the radio system. We did put a capital project forward to for a mobile command post. We're just starting the end of this year, which will go right into next year, the discovery program for ages 14 through 18 for the fire service and EMS. And we're going to continue to build on the programs that we recently started, the MRC, as well as, you know, our fire training and so on.
Okay. Anything eliminated?
Nothing. No programs are being eliminated.
Okay. And do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and capital program for your department is right-sized, including staffing for your needs and workload?
The proposed budget, yes. I mean, we know that we have staffing issues that we need to work on. But when it comes to training the staff, we can only train so many each year. We know that we are understaffed based off of the amount of calls that we take into our 911 center. You know, we average just under 130,000 calls a year between 911 and 10-digit calls. That's approximately 343 calls a day. So we need to add staffing, but we're limited within our center. There's only 8 positions, so we can't raise the staffing levels until we're in the new facility.
Okay.
We're maxed out right now.
You have an increase of 211,000 within the EMS coordinator for professional services. Do you want to speak about that?
Sure. Just give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Page. Do you know what line number that line item that was?
4,345.05. 4,345.05. In EMS. It's in the yellow. That sounded.
So basically, I believe there was the money there is for the training, the work stipend program that we're going to be doing. Basically, we're going to be teaching the EMS class as a more of an academy style class, 2 to 3 week program. Then students that successfully pass and volunteer work within Ulster County will receive a $2,000 stipend. As part of the work study program. This is similar and based off of what New York State Department of Homeland Security does for the fire service, and we would be the first county in the state to be doing that for EMS. Then running the EMS training program, there's equipment that needs to be purchased. The EMS training unit is going to be developed similar to our fire training unit. We're going to use the same model. We have a very successful fire training unit. So that's the model that we're going to be using.
Okay, that's all I had. Chair Kershaw?
Yeah, we've had Hi, welcome. We've had conversations about reaching out to the community, about the Government Operations Center, and kind of making sure that they knew what was happening there. And I just wondered if that's anywhere in the budget in terms of how you're going to do that kind of rollout.
I wouldn't have put that in our budget. I don't know if planning has anything on that regards to just Paradise Lane or.
Yeah, I just don't want it to get lost in the conversation. As I told you, I went to a neighbor right across the street and they're like, had no idea it was coming. And so I think some sort of information rollout about, hey, we're going to be your new neighbor and this is what this might mean to you. These are the benefits you might experience from it. And, you know, these are potential, you know, accommodations that might
absolutely do that through both our work with planning with Department of Public Works as well. We can
Thank you.
Senator Maloney?
Yep. Do you have any dispatch positions that are unfilled right now?
We do.
And how long have they been unfilled?
So we've added multiple positions over the past couple of years. So we currently now with the last hire we did, we have 2 open positions, but those were newly created in this year's budget.
Okay. Because salary is obviously an issue for you as well. And I personally know some of these dispatchers. When you look at the money they're making compared to other places, I think that was one of the main reasons you were having a hard time filling those positions. And once we get the new location up and running and we have room for even more, but I mean, we're running some overtime, I'm sure. With these dispatchers are work overtime quite a bit. I think it's one of the positions that when I think about COs, there's certain positions, dispatchers, one of them where I feel like there's only a couple of the positions compared to the rest of the budget. I just feel like I would have liked to, but the salary study's coming. I don't know. It's definitely one of the positions that I'd like to see, treated a little more fairly. And
That's that. I did hear you say grant, you know, and that brings me back. Did we fill that? Didn't we do a whole grant thing? And it was one of the things I brought up. I believe I was one of the only no's because I really felt like when you generalize it, there's going to be things so specific to you and you're not going to be looking for every single, there's going to be really specific things to your department that you're going to want somebody focused on with grants and you're not. And what happens, I think, when you have an approach that we have, the person just wants to produce and they're just out there getting grants and then we'll figure out what to do with it. So it is frustrating to hear that we've made this new position. Everybody said it was going to be great. And now you're going, I'm not getting the grant help that I need. So that's an operational problem, it sounds like. And I,
Deputy County Sec, would you like to speak on that position? Or
yes, we do have a recruitment retention issue. Not just recruitment, I would say retention as well. We do lose 911 dispatchers to other entities, not even just 911 centers, but even commercially organizations, you know, like Central Hudson.
Trucking.
Yeah. So we lose them sometimes. So that is an issue. Salaries is one of many parts of that. There's a whole slew of things I could talk for days about it.
What do we do?
But again, we're at a position now where once we fill these two spots, we only have literally one seat open on each shift, right, within our facility because it's so small. And I think that we'll get there. We do have a plan. It was a 5-year plan. A little extended right now, but I do believe that we'll get there to add additional hires over the next few years, especially when we get into a new facility where we'll have the seats to put our new dispatchers. When it comes to grants, I will say that the grant team in the county under the budget department has been very supportive of us. They've offered us assistance on any grants. All these grants that we currently have are very standard to us. You know, we do, you know, we're the ones that do know them the best. And so when it comes to applying for them, when it comes to managing them, we manage all that. So although I understand what you're saying, I don't want to say that they haven't been supportive of us. They have been supportive of us. They give us the assistance. They always reach out and say, hey, did you see this? Yep, we already applied for it, you know, because it's something we know it's on our calendar to make sure that we apply for DSAP, SICG, interoperability, terrorism prevention, and so on. There's many other ones that we manage. But we do manage, you know, a lot of money in grants. So I do think that we do need the position. I do think based off the conversations, you know, working through strategically next year to see how this works and managing it, we'll see. And then, you know, if it does not work out that way, more of a push in 2026.
Yeah. I mean, good answer, but I will say just what you said, you did have to, you still feel like you need a grant either of your own.
I don't disagree.
And I don't think any legislator voted on the positions that we put in last year thinking that it was going to be these grant writers calling or texting or emailing you and saying, hey, did you see that grant? There you go. Go get it. I think we anticipated them doing it. So it's, once again, I feel like something's not what we anticipated.
Sure. So the grant position, specifically, that Edward can correct me if I'm wrong, that he was putting here is really to help manage his grants are those cyclical grants that you get all the time. They come down from DCJS. They come down from Homeland Security. So this position was looking to help manage those grants. Currently, those grants are received. Some of it's partially offsetting staffing within Everett's operation. When we get everybody under that one roof idea, we're hopeful that that will be the time where we really look at this and can say, now that everyone's together under the same roof, what can we do strategically within that realm? The grants that come down specifically in Everett's area are those standard grants coming out of the state. So we're applying for the same ones year after year after year. Our grants team has done an enormous amount of work in trying to facilitate grants to offset GOC, to offset other areas too. So it is a very collaborative effort. But what was looking for here is more specific and will certainly be addressed as we move forward.
Was there any thought we still have these areas that have no ambulance coverage for the most part in the county. Was there ever a thought, the state is talking about a different approach, was there ever a thought here in Ulster County just to, and this would have been represented in the budget, obviously it's not going to be, to just do it ourselves, essentially. And we have the sitting money until the state does what they do and it's clear what every municipality and county is going to do going forward. Just take the money and have it be a sub-department of you and just have ambulance coverage in those locations where people are waiting an hour, hour and a half, or maybe not getting anything. Was that ever a thought or a discussion for this budget?
So there were a lot of conversations in regards to EMS, wide variety of conversations. The issue that it comes to implementing a countywide EMS system that would be run within, you know, the division of EMS, is to create it without breaking the system. So currently the system is so fragile, we need to be very careful on how it expands. So, although I do believe that, you know, a regional approach is going to be the end result, you know, the state's reports say that they need to be, you know, county-run systems because you're looking at economy of scale, you're looking at call volume, a lot of our towns, and then you look at the town of Kingston runs 76 calls. You need 1,500 to 1,800 calls to pay for an ambulance. Never survive in the town of Kingston. They need to work with another township, right? So the way we want to approach this right now is trying to get in a first phase to get townships really to work together and look at commercial agencies. They're not the fix. They're what I would call a safety net to really address EMS. So if you were to take 3 to 4 townships and they were to work together to create the call volume you need to pay for, keep the cost of readiness down, right? Create the call volume that you need in order to have ambulances available. And then in that time, create the resources to create a larger system. If we were to just go at it right now as a county, I think that the EMTs wouldn't be existent. We would have to pull from other agencies to have that EMS system. So am I going to start pulling from Diaz, from Empress, from New Paltz Rescue, from Ambulance, from Northern Dutchess Paramedic, and break these other agencies by taking their people? I do feel municipal system, commercial EMS is not a great place to work, right? It becomes you're doing transports. When you're supposed to get off at 7 p.m., you're now getting called to go to the hospital and do a transport down to Westchester, and then come back. When you're working within your community and you're dealing solely with 911 calls, it's a completely different story. When you get held over for an hour for an EMS call, for a cardiac arrest, it's more understandable than staying over consistently after every shift for multiple hours, right?
Yeah, I understand all that. What I was asking was, it's been year after year after year, it's disappointing. And I think even incentivizing an incentive will buy the ambulance. If a certain amount of towns have the plan and incentivize it, it still could have been in this budget. I still think there's a lot of volunteers out there that I think we could have a couple of employees without emptying out the pool. And I think we'd stay away from hurting the commercial places by not doing medical transport where the real money is. And I just meant a few satellite locations we're going to lose money on, but at least, and it's a start. And then having a system of coming up with what we generally want to see from these towns and then incentivizing them by basically offering them the build out and the equipment and vehicles that they need. That's how it's going to eventually get started. But it's just year after year after year, we never do anything. And at some point I'd love to see something in the budget. It's got to start somewhere.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Our last department is the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Figueroa and Under Sheriff Mullins. Welcome. We're going to ask you the same questions. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
Yes, I did. Good evening, everyone. You guys hear me?
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Basically, personnel-wise, we did request a grants manager from a peer advocate position. We presently have over $6 million in grants, over 16 grants, and to manage them is quite the job. The other position, we had a part-time tech rep. We have a lot of technology in the sheriff's office, and we had it's a part-time position that she's in right now. We wanted to make it a full-time position, but again, that wasn't done. Ironically, and I think this was a clerical error, they zeroed out the amount for her position for next year, which I'll get with the county exec's office on that. We also have two new security guards for building 368, one new detective sergeant for security, as they have 10 buildings, now 11, and about 25 security folks, full-time and part-time, that they have to worry about. And one new deputy for the DA's office when they get that new building for security purposes. The new capital projects is the Axon Taser replacement. The Flock upgrade, that's only based if we get a grant that we put in for. And to upgrade the law enforcement equipment relating to ATVs and UTVs, we just lost one. They're over a decade old up at the Saugerties Garlic Festival. So that's the three main questions I believe you asked.
Yes, you got it all in one there, huh?
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit about CapCourt?
Centralized arraignment part. We're probably going to have to amend the budget for that. We are responsible for getting the supplies for them, and I think we put in, we're going to amend it for $5,000, and that's their paperwork. As far as the clerks, we budgeted, I think I requested $40,000 last year. We got $30,000 for this year because we knew we weren't going to start until June or July with centralized arraignment part. So for the budget next year, we put down or requested $90,000 based on a full year. That will cover 3 hours for a clerk in the morning, 3 hours for a clerk at night. And that 3 hours is based on an hour to commute back and forth and then 2 hours pay that they get. I think the flat rate was $35. The judges are getting paid. I think it's $250 a session when they show up for CapCourt. Not from us. CapCourt, the $250 is being paid by the state, OCA.
Legislator Maloney.
And CapCourt has caused overtime, road patrol and the jail side, correct?
There is overtime with the jail side, and it's manned mainly with a shift during the day for the road patrol, but sometimes, yes, there will be overtime.
On both sides. So, and you had security officers that you didn't even ask for, but were just given to you, correct, because of more wants by the executive's office as far as some new things they want to do. But then you were denied a bunch of COs, it looks like.
So the COs are, if you're looking at the defunded positions?
Yeah.
So that, a little history, and it's a good question, but a little history on it. In 2020, during the pandemic, there was a hiring freeze and there was a promotion freeze. Minimum staffing levels is 157. This office has never had 157 CEOs. After the comptroller's report, the executive had a meeting with me because at the time when I took office, there were 240 incarcerated individuals at the Ulster County Jail. That went down because even though the law wasn't effective till 2020, when they did pass the law in 2019, the judges started using bail reform and releasing people. In February of 2020, for the first time since 1979, we had 99 incarcerated individuals. And then in March, we got hit with the pandemic. Now, knowing that bail reform, the pandemic, the judges, what was a qualifying offense, what wasn't, I knew that the numbers at some point want to go back up to a more stabilized number like we have now, which is close to 200. That's the way it's been fluctuating the last year and a half. A deal was made with the county executive that we would defund in positions. I put in for them every year. And the reason why I put in for them, if they are completely removed and they don't defund them and they get rid of the lines, I can't come back to you and ask you to give me more corrections officers if we get a large influx of people at the jail. So every year I put them in, and every year the county defunds them. We're presently at about 100 corrections officers. As you know, we're going through a huge issue trying to keep corrections officers, even though we are, we have a whole new recruiting team. Just this last list, out of the 29 individuals that took the test, about six of them are, we hired them provisionally, waiting to reach them because they're 75s. Out of that, about 15 never responded to personal phone calls and emails to see if they would take the job. So it's not just isolated to this county. It's every county in New York. And it's just been a trying situations, really, to find people to work at the jail.
So how many positions are unfilled at this point?
About 35.
So if you filled those with the population you have, you're saying you wouldn't necessarily need those other 10. It would take a population, a significant population increase for you to need those 10, so it wasn't as if you were...
You're correct. We shut down two housing units, but the problem when you do that is that you have to move more people. So if you have 40, normally we like to have about 20, 25 individuals in a housing unit that holds 48. The issue with that is you get more fights, and I have to worry about the safety of the correction officer. There's one CO that's in there watching all these people. One CO.
I get it. So we really need to get those 35 positions, figure out how to fill those 35 positions, which I think comes down to salary and fringe. Two last things. You mentioned a grant specialist. We just went through it. It's the same kind of, I said this a year ago, that these things are specialized. We should be putting them in, and I bet you a grant specialist that focused even on law enforcement, first response, and a team that we could do it in different spots around the county, but the centralized thing I never thought was going to work, and so far it hasn't worked. So I don't think it's crazy with the budget your size and the amount of people you have for you to have more. You don't have a grant specialist at all right now or any sort?
We did have a part-time one, but it didn't work out. People don't want to work for it.
It's a reasonable ask, and it's something I'll talk to you about. I also think, and I'm going through fleet things right now, I don't think it would be crazy for you to have a position that is like a fleet manager for your entire fleet yourself that focuses on your fleet. You kind of have people that do that
collateral.
One in particular does a lot of it. I think they should be entitled. Maybe I'll pick your brain on that sometimes, but that's all I have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Legislator Maloney brings up a good point. I want to remind you that last year, remember I put forward funding for a position that would be a grants team. It would be an organization that has several different types of grants writers that we would hire. And then when we needed specific expertise in an area, we could call on that grants team and say, okay, we need somebody specifically who knows law enforcement or somebody who knows some sort of, you know, operations for, and that was decided to, that wasn't fully accepted because they wanted to beef up the in-house grants team, which I actually understand and appreciate, but I still see a need for some specialized help. So that might be something that I can pull back out that resolution that was passed by the legislature. So we had the funding there, but it just was never used for that purpose. I had another question, though, about a line. So you have a computer equipment line that you had requested for $104,000, and it was the recommended budget was $11,000, $12,000. It is line 2200. And I was just curious because that's quite a difference.
What page is that?
It's page 8 of 20.
I don't think I have the same.
Oh.
number of the
Sorry. We probably have a different number.
I know some of the tech equipment was moved to a capital.
Okay. Maybe that is that what happened?
Yeah. It is.
It's in criminal. That helps you.
All right. And I'm
It's just it's a $90,000 difference, so I was just curious where.
So I don't know if that's one of the ones that was moved to the capital that we talked about earlier today, but I'm not sure.
We can certainly find out.
Do you see where I'm talking about, Jamie?
I do not.
It's 2200-2200. Okay. And it was a departmental request of
100. Yeah, so Sheriff, I think this was your ask for the software. There was a software for
Oracle. Yes. So that's going to be a capital, and we're looking to use the grant, our $1.3 million grant for that. And I think we're going to put that in June 2.
Okay. Thank you.
And you will be. Yes. I have a question for County Exec. It's really for the budget team, but there's no one here. So Oracle federal aid is proposed to increase by 45%, almost $400,000. Do you know, how do they know that? And I don't think that they were aware of it.
I think
it's an error.
I will check that, but I do believe it should be based on the grant award notices that come in, and it could be the timing of the grant award notifications based on how it will spend out. So I'll certainly check that. Yeah, absolutely,
Sheriff, as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, there is one more thing that I know that was on here that relating to the offshore wellness positions. We're still in conversation with the county executive office, and that was moving that from a CEO position to and we were fine with it, basically a first responder specialist. So it's not all, but this offshore wellness group is for everybody. It's for dispatchers. It's for people from the DA's office. It's anyone related or attached with or associated with the criminal justice system. The only issue that I have with it is that it seems like they're going to pull it out and put it in to emergency management. I have a problem with that because there's a reason why Oracle worked. This team is based off of Oracle. If you have too many bosses, it's not going to work. And so I'll continue to work with the county exec's office on that.
Maybe just change the name a little bit, because when you call first responders, they just want to give it to emergency, I guess. I don't know.
You can respond on it if you want.
Sure.
So this person would certainly be sitting with the wellness, would be under the oversight of the Sheriff's Wellness Unit. Looking at how the wellness units will be working, there was a conversation about how should this position be trained, how should this be working. There's conversations with Erickson and his team on this. Having an Everett's budget puts it forward as this is truly for first responders and for your 911 dispatchers, your people coming in from your fire, your rescue side of that house. But it will absolutely be sitting with the sheriff, will be under the direction of the wellness unit. But we're certainly having more conversations on that.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
It's an adjourn.
Yes.